It's Stream Talk Live with your host, Dean Wilson, brought to you in part by Muse.Digital, the new world leader in everything digital.
I'm Dean, and on the line with me is Tom, and we've got a great show coming up today. But you know what? It's been a few weeks since we've done this because, you know, it's the holidays, and we all go on vacation, and we do things, you know. I got to go to Vegas, spend all my money. We have exciting times. How are you today, Tom?
Fabulous.
Oh, fantabulous. That's great, man. How was the holiday?
I'm glad it's over. You know, it's that time of the year, man. It just piles up. It piles up.
Oh, I know.
No, it was very nice. Very nice.
It's like the Energizer Bunny, man. It just keeps going and going and going and going.
You know, it's the time of the year when everybody decides, oh, you know what? Everything that was on my list, I didn't get done, and I want to get it done now.
Oh, I hear you. You know, what's funny is normally around here, we've got 6 inches of snow, and for Christmas, I'm walking outside in short sleeves, no jacket. It's in the 70s, and I'm like, the world's coming to an end.
Well, geez, I could have been on the beach in my G-string this past week here in New York.
Oh, God, that is a scary thought.
Yeah, well.
Completely scary, Tom. You in a G-string. Good Lord have mercy.
I just thought I'd break your brain.
I hear you. And, you know, we got some great scoop coming up this week in the show. A lot of things have gone on in the past month since we've been on the air. Just to kind of lay down a roadmap to it, so to speak. We've got major changes in licensing. We've got major changes in advertising and broadcasting. My God, to me, I'm going to tell you something. January 1st is not looking like a really good day. And normally, I'm so excited about the new year and going into January, get to start fresh and new. And you know, I'm almost looking at some doom and gloom coming up.
Well, it's all the challenges that are ahead regarding music, right? That's where...
Yeah,
that's the big challenge. But there's so many exciting things too. I mean, oh my, you know.
Now we have some exciting things to talk about too, and during the show, some little announcements, little things that we found out. You know, these little birdies land everywhere with us, and they give us information, and we're able to leak a little bit of that information just so people can keep an eye on it. And we're blessed with that. We really are. So I guess maybe it's not all doom and gloom for the new year. It's about, hey, you know what? They crapped on us here, but where are we going to go from there?
Yeah.
You know?
As long as it's far enough away from the campfire, we're good.
Well, yeah, because when they crap pretty hard. And you know how methane gas is. Big explosion. Actually, maybe if they did really crap on us real close to the campfire, it'd blow up and we'd start a whole new thing.
You know, it moves 3 feet a second.
3 feet a second. I can't run that fast. I'm too fast.
Smell.
Oh, the smell. Oh, God. You ever, let me ask you this. When you were a kid, did you ever experiment and... You know, we saw these stupid things. You know, like that show Jackass?
Yeah.
You know, you ever bend over and tell your buddy, here, I'm going to cut a big one, put that lighter up there? Oh, my God.
No, never did that one.
Well, they called it feet, Jackass.
Though. Yeah. I set a few beds, a few short sheets, a few hot toes, you know, back in the basic training days.
I bet you were a bully.
Oh, no, not me. Definitely not.
No, not you? You weren't a bully?
I was only 17. I was a baby, man. They were older than me. I was
the youngest one. You know, we've had some exciting things that have happened over this past year. We got a few things to get over the end of the year, and then let's figure out how we're going to make the new year fantabulous. What do you think?
I'm there. My mind is already in the new year, and the things that are about to unfold in the next 6.5 weeks is going to be a game changer in a lot of ways. This new platform that's rolling out, which I guess we'll get to later on, is really the most exciting thing I've seen in a long time. And to be involved at the level that I am, you know, and our team, you know, is involved, is going to be, I think this is going to be the biggest year of my career.
And I believe part of that deals with a major electronics company, company that was going into liquidation and purchased by a hedge fund.
Exactly.
With exciting things coming out here in about 6 weeks. I think that some of the scoop that I've found out recently is going to blow people away. I mean, completely blow you away. And if you're listening to this, and I know you've got concerns about licensing and everything, but it's not all doom and gloom. We've got issues with licensing. Sound Exchange, they went just absolutely atrocious. ASCAP followed suit. BMI kind of hung out, and you know, they've just been like, well, we're not going to change anything right now. And then you got SESAC. They didn't change anything. SOCAN Canada, they didn't change anything. PPL over in the UK, they're just holding steady. You know, it's like it's the United States is the leader of shoving stuff up people's butts. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just my opinion. And I hope they don't throw me in prison for saying that, you know, under this communist rule that our country's in, it is always possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a thought police now. But, you know, hopefully change is in the wind. So I'm trying to believe that everything is going to be all right. As far as that goes.
And you know what it is, because we make our own destiny. Yep. And everything that we do. And here on BBS Radio, you know, they have a lot of shows on here about the spiritual stuff and everything else. And quite honestly, that has a lot of dealings with what we do, because, you know, a lot of them just evolve around the fact that you make your own destiny. And, you know, you can't let other people just whoop the crap out of you. You got to start moving forward, and we've got to make things work. And we've got to move the digital world into a whole new world. And that's what it's all about. It's how do we make these things happen? Instead of sitting back and whining and crying about what's happened, how do we move forward? I mean, there's still an appeal process that can be brought forward. So it may not be as dark as everyone thinks. Some of the leaders in licensing, they are asking people to constrain from taking negative actions against the licensing pros until they can build an alliance amongst everyone. And then when that time comes, we all move at the same time in unison. And I think that that's an awesome idea. I know that Stream Licensing has been a leader in that. I want to discuss that a little bit more here when we get back from break. I want to discuss about what Marvin Glass is saying at Stream Licensing. And it's public knowledge because he sent it out to all of his affiliates. But if people aren't involved with Stream Licensing, they need to know what's going on that platform. So I tell you what,
It's all about economics.
Economics, and it's all about how can we make it work in the digital community. So, Tom, why don't we take a quick break so we can promote our production department, and when we come back, we're going to talk about licensing and all sorts of good stuff. So, Don, if you're ready to take us to break, we're right and ready.
Your radio station or podcast is a reflection of you. So when it sounds good, you sound good. That's where we come in. At Muse.Digital, we do imaging and commercial production for all media platforms with quick turnaround and a guaranteed wow factor. Listen to demos of what we can do for you by going to Muse.Digital. That's M-U-S-E.Digital.
My name is Jake Summers. I'm production director for Muse.Digital. Having a great sound and radio station really doesn't have to cost a lot. If you want great imaging at a fair price, let us do all the heavy lifting. No matter what your format, from Christian to hip-hop, we can do it with a quick turnaround time and a guaranteed smile for you. You can listen to some samples of what we do and learn more when you go to Muse.Digital. That's Muse, M-U-S-E dot digital.
And now,
back to Stream Talk Live with Dean Wilson.
Right now.
I love that part. You know what? It's right now.
I didn't hear my name.
I know. Jake left that out. We're going to have to talk to Jake, aren't we? Yeah,
he's fired.
Oh, no. We can't fire him yet.
I'm kidding.
He's still got stuff to do for us. So we'll fire him afterwards. Don't tell him. We'll team up against him. We can't beat him up though, because he's a really nice guy.
We'll pretend like we're one of these big giant. Well, we are a big media company, but one of the evil media companies where we plan and we plot against our own.
Okay, so am I the good cop or the bad cop?
At the corporate media world, they're all bad cops.
All bad cops?
They're all bad. I've met a few good guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. I have to admit it.
The transfer of knowledge was valuable. I mean, to a point, you know. But, you know.
Some amazing things have happened here in the past month. And shift gears. Yeah, hold on. I'm good at that. I like to put it in reverse when I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
It's hell on a transmission, though. So, but one of the things that I wanted to mention, and I did mention it earlier, is the digital licensing and the fact that SoundExchange did away with the small webcaster program. Used to be that under the small webcaster program, you could be a small company less than 150,000 TLH. You could stream. It was all based on income. Well, they figured out that webcasters have no damned income. I mean, seriously, they have no income unless they get involved with a company that provides commercial insertion. And then what they find out when they do is that they're dumb enough to report the revenues because they didn't set their company up properly. And they see that with those revenues, the licensing gets well out of reach because they can't make enough money to do it. So what they did was they decided ASCAP and SoundExchange, well, ASCAP just followed suit with SoundExchange. So they say the artists aren't making enough money and you know, they're advocates of the artists and the songwriters. And I understand that. And I will admit that SoundExchange does distribute money a lot better than ASCAP. ASCAP spends so much money on legal stuff that they don't give as much money to the artists, but they've been around forever and they know what they're doing. So they decided that they're really going to come after people. And instead of just having this small webcaster agreement where it's based on income, they've decided they're going to charge per spin. So it's 0.007 per spin now. So you take a station with 150,000 TLH and SoundExchange is getting 0.007 a spin, and ASCAP's getting 0.007 a spin. That's a lot of money.
You need to have a revenue stream on top of the revenue streams dedicated just to pay that bill. And that revenue stream has got to be a significant CPM to make those economics work.
You're right. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Okay. Not only have they done that, but now they're basing it on your income as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, all right, let's take, for instance, you have a station that's doing 50,000 ATH, TLH. Okay. And he goes to the licensing authority, whether it's ProNet licensing or Stream licensing or whoever, and he finds out that his new rates per month to cover his licensing up to a certain point, up to 60,000 TLH, is going to be $228.32. Let's just use that, okay, as an example. Okay, so that's based on no income. So this broadcaster doing this gets with a company that's doing commercial ad insertion, right? And the commercial ad insertion company is paying him, say, $275 to $300 a month. He covers his licensing expenses and has a little bit of money left in his pocket, correct?
Should be.
Okay. So now, since this guy is a single entity, he has to go in and he has to report $300 worth of revenue. Okay. So what do you think that does to his licensing? It throws his licensing up over $1,200 a month under the new platform.
That's insane.
So how does he pay for that?
You see, they combined two different things, and they went from they took a model from the cable industry, which was when on-demand and cable services hit the bars and the clubs, the cable companies charged based on occupancy of the building.
Right.
And they, and ASCAP BMI being the first in that market with the jukebox music that plays and then live performances, they have come up with a plan, a model to charge based on the occupancy for all live music. And now they have taken that model and added it to a revenue plus a per play model. So they're actually getting paid several different ways at the same time, stacking revenue streams on their side.
Absolutely.
But what they're doing is they're destroying an industry that has been feeding the exposure and building the exposure of the product that they're looking to monetize. So it is a cannibalization. The question is, you know, what's left on the bone after they've eaten?
Well, I'm thinking in my mind that they're starting to get to the bone marrow now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they can only go so far, but I mean, they did this because in the digital world, you can actually track impressions. Okay, you can track listeners, how long they listened, and they can get all that information. Whereas in the terrestrial world, they have no clue. Yeah. They have to go by, I guess, the population of the city that your station's located in.
Well, it's that and the people meter. So they're taking the people meter numbers, which is a guesstimate, right? They have certain number of people with the people meter that picks up a digital signal from the, that goes out with the broadcast signal. That little box that people carry around with them is monitoring every time they turn on and turn a station in their car or wherever they are when music is being played. There, this little box is picking up this signal, and that is supposed to equate to the population in the market, both demographic and geography. And by station. So that's what they're using as a model, but it's not an exact number. So the broadcasters are getting away with, potentially they could be getting away with a higher delivery. The reality is we really don't know how many people are actually listening.
Right.
And so it puts digital at an unfair measure because it's so exact. It's not getting measured the way that the broadcast side is. And
It kind of looks to me, too, like not only did they come after the web only or what we call the pure plays, they're after any digital broadcast from the terrestrials now, which is really, to me, trying to control the digital world.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden the government's launched a new FCC to dominate the internet. So, I'm kind of.
Can you just touch on a couple things? First is the TLH. A lot of people that are listening may not know what that means. Total listening hours.
That's total listening hours.
And then
it starts after a person's been online for 30 seconds. After they've been online for so many minutes, it registers a whole new TLH.
And then you have all these different organizations. How do all these organizations, if you explain, are they overlapping licenses where each one is charging, or that one is the service? So it's a combined fee from each one of these organizations at the same time. It's not one or the other. It's all combined. So just touch on that. And then you had mentioned that they're all talking. That basically, in the market, that's a conspiracy to set pricing.
Well, basically, that's what they've done.
Yeah, and that's a federal offense.
There's two different ways of looking at this. You've got people like Stream Licensing and ProNet Licensing, and quite honestly, ProNet Licensing shouldn't even be around. But Stream Licensing, Marvin is probably the most honest businessman I've ever met in my life. And what he's doing is and it's not called blanket coverage. He's making deals with the licensing agencies where broadcasters with less than 60,000 listening hours can come under the Stream Licensing agreement with the pros. Okay. So your bill is X amount a month, depending upon your station revenues, okay? And you know you're going to pay X amount a month. Whereas the second scenario is you go license direct with the pros. So you go to Sound Exchange, you make a $500 deposit per station, and then you report to them your actual... You have to provide actual digital numbers, and they take 0.007, and that's per listening hour, okay? Per spin, your listening hours, the number of listeners you have, and they bill that against your $500. So in 90 days, if you've eaten up your $500, guess what? You pay more money. And they bill you for it. So you turn around, you're with Sound Exchange, you're doing good. Then there's ASCAP. Well, you have to be licensed through ASCAP if you're playing ASCAP artists. So ASCAP, you have to give them a $500 deposit per station, maximum of $50,000. Okay. And they bill your TLH and your total numbers of spins for the artists to your $500. So in 90 days, when you've run out of money, guess what? There's more money.
Yep. Bill time.
So you can't afford to go to these entities, these pros, as we call them, and get your own licensing. Plus, you have to follow their reporting model. And if you don't do it, then the music Nazis come after you.
Yep.
And they take little grandmas in New York and they charge them $500,000 because their grandchild downloaded a bunch of illegal music.
Look, I have a friend. I have a friend.
Well, really?
I don't know. Maybe. No, dear friend of mine. I've known him since I'm a kid, and he owns a catering halls. And yeah, I mean, it's not streaming, but so he ASCAP sends him a letter. He has to go. He gets a subpoena, and apparently they were in there, and you know they saw that they're playing live music, and then they also have DJs, and they play music throughout the building when you know they're doing these events, and they wound up getting a huge bill, and they negotiated it down to, you ready? $750,000.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah. So they, you know, this happened about 3 years ago. So the economy was really low. The catering business was taking a hit. People, I guess it maybe was a little early. I guess it's a little time further back. It was right around 2009. Yeah, so I guess about 6 years ago now, 7 years. It was at the top of the downfall of the market, and people were not getting married. You know, a wedding cost you $50,000 easy, you know? And so now here they get hit with a $750,000 bill from ASCAP BMI. And that was negotiated down. So they had to make a decision what they were going to do, and they were contemplating selling one of the facilities, you know, and so it really, you know, that was going to put, you know, I don't know how many dozens of people out of work, and so I mean it's a cannibalization of I mean the artists need to get paid, you know, they created the content, it's there,
absolutely
right, so that's important. I you know. But there's got to be some kind of a balance. Otherwise, you just simply can't play music. You know.
Well, you know, I want to tell a story too, and it's for all these guys that think, well, screw it, I'm not going to pay any more licensing, and I'm going to go pirate. If you don't think ASCAP is a bunch of licensing Nazis, you are wrong. In the major markets in the United States, and I'm going to use the 17th largest market as an example. I'm talking number 17. They have ASCAP representatives sitting in Louisville, Kentucky, that do nothing but watch the local newspapers. Seriously. And so they look for bars. Of all things, they look for bars that are having live entertainment.
Right.
And they go to the bar, and as soon as the band plays a cover song, they ask the owner of the bar, where is your ASCAP license? Do you have one? Can you present that to us, please? Well, I don't have one. I need $1,500 right now for your ASCAP license. Because you're playing live music in the bar and you have a seating capacity of 200 people, we need your license.
Yeah.
If not, you need to get one right away.
Yeah.
I'm serious. So if you think, if you think that you're going to get away with playing music without a license, I want you to send me some of what you're smoking. Because I really want to take a toke. You know what I'm saying?
Send me some too, please.
No kidding.
It's the, yeah, I mean, that's like a, you know, going pirate is, I mean, there's a lot of them, you know, here in New York. I mean, there's a lot of them. But the risk is great, you know, on both sides of that coin. And, you know, how do you, you know, there are ways to monetize, and they do, you know, if you have, if you're in the club scene here in New York, it's, you know, it's done, but not recommended. You know, the name of the game is to
play the game,
and I think, you know, people joining, you know, coming on board with Muse, and, you know, one of the arms that we're developing is, to set up some type of representation. You know, we're still working through it. We're at infant stage, but the thought is that, we've got all these independents and everybody's their own island. And that's part of the problem is because everybody is separate and their own island, they're vulnerable.
Well,
And so we need a unit. We need representation for the independents, which doesn't exist.
Well, it's one of the things that Marvin Glass is trying to say when he sends out these email blasts to people is don't get crazy yet. Okay. Don't be going out on your own and blasting the pros and everything else and trying to make a movement against this, because we all need to team together. So if we're going to do an appeal process, then we need to build, we need to bring thousands of people together. Look at NAB. Okay. Look at IAB. Look at all the major broadcast organizations for terrestrial radio that fight for terrestrial radio.
Exactly. You know, it's always about the same thing, isn't it? It comes down to money.
It's always about the same thing. It's always about money, but it's also about unity. It's about unity. If you don't join together, if you don't join together and show Congress you have a flipping voice and show these damn judges that make these decisions that you're pissed off, well, you can do it by yourself. I mean, Tom, you can email the judges. You can email Sound Exchange. And you can say, I'm extremely unhappy with this. You know what they're going to tell you?
I know.
KMA. They're going to tell you KMA. Joined together as a team and you went 50,000 strong and told them you disagree, they got to listen.
We need a lobbying arm. We need a lobbying group that is working day in and day out on this, you know, for us. So it's, you know, it's not just us sending in our, you know, our letters and banging on the doors of our own representatives, which we all should be doing. And we should all know who our representatives are. We should all be calling our representatives and letting them know about the issues that we're facing with our industry and our business and that we're struggling. You know, we're in a technology world and here we are, you know, we're being
screwed by the government.
We're being screwed because I don't believe that they really know, because there's nobody talking for these individuals. I mean, it's part of our business.
Your place to group together and do anything.
It's part of our business to support these individuals, but we can't do all of these other things on top of that without their support and financial collective support. Money needs to be raised. And that money needs to go to a lobbying group that is performing for us as a collective. But part of that, in my mind, is starting off with what are the economics? What is the economic scale that needs to be for these independents to make it and survive and be able to play music? And that is where I believe we have to begin, is to figure out what, you know, I mean, you and I know. But you need to have a collective where we make a presentation, say, this is where we think it needs to be. What do you guys think? What are we missing? Okay. Is there anything we're missing?
I hate to cut you short, but we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, some people have found an answer that's going to blow the licensing pros out of the water. So, Don, if you'll take us to a quick break, and we're ready to go.
Introducing the YMCA. Sure, you know the Y for a swim or a game of hoops, but we're more than that. We're a cause. When you take a jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Practice yoga as a team practices her leadership skills. We give people of all ages, incomes, and backgrounds a chance to learn, grow, and thrive. So while you might think of the Y as the place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. That's a Y. We're so much more. Visit YMCA.net/more.
6 months from now, I'm going to be a dad. So there's one thing I want to change about me right now. I've tried before, but this time, I'll do it for me and the baby. I'll quit smoking for good.
Most people don't succeed at first. It often takes several tries. The important thing is to never quit on yourself. visit quitternu.org or call 1-800-LUNG-USA for tools and tips from the American Lung Association. We support the Quitter in You.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible until now. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who work to combat human trafficking. It's time to open our eyes. Learn what you can do by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
Young people everywhere are making a difference.
Special Olympics has changed my life.
What I'm doing is for a great cause.
And it's not about disabilities, but it's about celebrating their abilities.
I've made a difference. Now it's your turn to make a difference.
Get involved at SpecialOlympics.org.
And now, back to Stream Talk Live with Dean Wilson.
Right now.
No. And we're back. Oh, yeah. And as I promised, we're going to talk about a way that some companies have learned to get around the licensing issues in the digital world, which is absolutely amazing. And it's called making direct deals with the record companies. What a thought. What do you think?
It's a lot of work, but you know, you need to know the libraries that you're planning on playing. And if you start there, you know, it is possible to do.
Well, you know, what's really bad is the record companies have taken such a large hit with their budgets, okay, where they used to be able to go out and sign these artists and promise them the world and do all this promotion and really hit it hard. They have lost their rear ends, okay? And you know they own the rights to the music. When they sign an artist, the artist signs all rights over to the record label if they're going to promote the artist. So they own all the rights to that. So what the record labels have found is that they can team with the digital world, okay, and for services, and those services can promote those artists, and the record labels just give them the right to do it with no royalties.
Right, flat fee.
Right. So where do the licensing agencies benefit from that?
They don't. They had the trackability, and that was their function.
Right.
But again, with the digital world, the trackability is on our side.
Right.
And now it's not this convoluted information. It's true, pure data that anyone can understand. And that makes it easy for the record labels.
Absolutely.
Know, again, it's about
they have a new outlet. They have a new outlet, and it doesn't cost them millions of dollars to do it. So they figured out, oh crap, we've got this digital outlet that we can promote our artists, and without, you know, for them to get a record to spin on a terrestrial station is like pulling teeth. Okay, they've got to pay people to constantly promote that music.
Yeah.
But with the digital world, they found a way that they can make direct deals with the digital companies to promote that music, and then it doesn't cost them jack crap. Yep. So they're able to provide those services to the artists. It gives them an opportunity to sign new artists, to get number one hits, and it makes them really look good. If you think about it, truly.
Yeah, it's a new direct revenue stream.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take Adele, for instance, okay? Adele launches a song, and within 3 days, there's over 1 million downloads. free downloads because she hasn't launched a song. She hasn't released a song in forever. Okay. So to promote that song, they put it out there in the digital world where people can download it. Okay. And they can listen to it, and it promotes Adele's next album. Is that not ingenious?
It is brilliant.
Wow.
And, you know, it's seeding the market.
Damn, that's our business. I mean, if you think about it, that's why we got into this business to start with. And being able to do that and for a record label to be able to capture something like that and make a promotional out of it, what do you think it costs them to do that?
Fraction.
Huh?
It's a fraction of what it would normally.
So somebody probably paid them to do it.
You know, and we're right in the middle of that whole model. That's we're part of a new platform that's going to be rolled out in about 6 weeks. We touched on that earlier, and we're taking that model, and we're going to be rolling out some really exciting artists content. And
so as an example in that, as an example in that rollout. And that type of structure, is this new app coming out.
Right.
Okay. And we've gotten the inside scoop on that app and it's absolutely amazing. The app, I'm just going to tell them what the name of it is. OI2. This app is going to take over everything digital. I believe I see the light on it. I really believe
audio, video,
it's audio, video, you name it. And they're going to start initially with 50,000 music downloads free.
Yep. There's on demand, there's streaming, and then there's searchable music.
Wow.
So that is, and then gaming is a whole nother aspect that's adjacent, running adjacent to this. So
go play your favorite video games at the same time.
And then there's this international exercise organization, just can't say the name yet, that 133 countries were also involved in that. And this organization, this exercise organization, creates its own music, which will also be accessible through this app. And we're going to launch new artists.
So you can do your little exercises, man, just listening to your phone.
I think I could say who the artist is. The first artist, I don't think there's an issue there. The artist is Pitbull.
Wow.
And
amazing.
So he's going to be releasing some new music through this platform. And you'll be able to listen. And there's going to be some new technology that nobody's really seen before that it's going to be really cool, because what we want to learn about the music is, do you like it, right? Is this something that you're enjoying? Did you enjoy the music so we can continue to play it? And we want to know that as a station, you want to know that as a station owner, what people really want to hear. And the request lines are great. It does take time, and you only have that one person, where when this new music is released, what we're going to have is we're going to ask people to take a picture of themselves. And this new technology is going to tell us how everybody felt about the experience that they had after listening to this new song. And
yeah, completely opt in. We want people to participate, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean,
and share it with their friends. So, hey,
and share it with their friends. Right, hey, this is what I thought about it. And here's a selfie.
Exactly. And you that know? Gets shared. So the music gets shared. The selfie gets shared. And then we get this data that comes in and says, hey, this is the people are liking it. They're not liking it. They're you know, this is the reaction that we're getting from this particular song. Dude, keep it, kick it, you know? So it'll be used in a lot of different ways. But
the app actually reads your facial expressions and analyzes how you felt, so you can share it with people and the data can be collected and distributed saying, hey, this is going to be a hit song.
Yeah, it's massive.
Or, hey, this really sucks. You know, nobody liked it.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's amazing.
It measures dozens of little measurements of your eyes and your eyebrows and your mouth and your cheeks and, you know, your overall face. And again, dozens of measurements simultaneously, and gives an overall feeling of what the experience was. And so this technology is going to be used in a lot of different ways. But this is the initial rollout, and we'll be rolling it out for other experiences. It could be, you know, with this app where you just had a fine meal and, you know, where the meal just was put in front of you. We want to get your expression of, you know, what that was. And for that expression, you get something. And so it's going to be used a lot of different ways. It might be used on the next roller coaster, you know? So it's all about what the experience was, what you felt about the experience, and how we can instantly get that feedback so we can then turn around and make that experience better and better and better for whatever the experience is.
Well, and you know, and the app is so sophisticated, and it's going to be so popular that there's a major electronics company. I was surfing the internet today, and I don't know if anybody knows the name Nick Cannon. But if you go to nickcannon.com and you look on his personal blog, I would hope everybody knows who Nick Cannon is. You look on his personal blog, and he's now the content director for this major corporation, and the app will be powering a new product coming out in about 6 weeks. And it just makes for absolute mania in the digital world. It's so amazing. And, you know, Tom, your team is right there in the background of that. You're right there in the process of that. And that's an amazing thing. It's the way of the digital world. It's opening up doors for many people.
For what is happening right now is a lot of brilliant people have all had a collective idea, and they're taking something that was dying and they're bringing it back to life in a whole new way, in a bigger way that makes it center point of an industry. And with a brand that's been around since 1921, I think it is.
Amazing.
With retail locations, thousands of retail locations, and making this electronics business that was falling away, make it back to what is the core of both electronics and media. Making it, I mean, when I think about it, it's just so brilliant a move, and it couldn't be more spot on. I mean, it's everybody's when the word gets out, everybody's going to instantly recognize how brilliant a move this is.
And so for the pure play broadcasters, I was having a beer with an attorney the other night. Imagine that, me having a beer with somebody. And I was having a beer with this.
There's a lot of people. They're all on the other side. They're around the bar, aren't they? They're all there.
He just happens to be a music attorney.
Awesome.
Okay. A corporate music attorney. And, you know, I just happened to run into him at the bar. Not that I'm stalking him or anything. You know, I just happened to run into him. And we got to talking. And I said, well, you know, in the digital world, this is going to be screwed up because these poor guys out there trying to build their stations, you know, if they make 300 and they're paying 228, now they're going to be paying 1100. How the hell can they fix that? I mean, there's no hope. And he says, I'm going to tell you something off the record. Now, this is off the record. I'm not mentioning any names or anything. He said, if these guys would get smart and they'd form two companies under different names, and they would have one company, which is the radio station entity that is paying the royalties, and there was another company that was providing their content for free in exchange for 5 minutes of commercials an hour, then the station has no revenue and the content company prospers.
And not only does it not have the revenue, it has expenses which are then deductible against other third, depending on how you're structured. See, you know, an LLC, more than likely, or C-Corp, usually not S, but you then have the ability to take those deductions against other income.
Well,
and that,
yeah.
That makes the whole thing work.
But he said that was totally off the record, and maybe somebody listening will catch that flipping hint.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's the way it works in the music industry.
Yeah. Well,
they're all doing it.
You got to play the game.
Yes. And when you're in pure play or digital only, you have to play a game where you save yourself money. And I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just saying what I heard from this attorney. Okay. But it's almost a fail-proof method to keep from having to pay more royalties. Yep. So the content provider wins and the station is able to keep going.
Nobody's losing.
Right. It's a win-win situation.
It keeps it in proportion where it makes sense.
And something we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, and you know, how do you make that happen? I mean, how do you get those revenues? How do you do this? You have to be able to cater to video pre-roll advertising, which pays well. You have to be able to do audio, in-stream audio advertising.
Well, Yeah, I mean, you're touching on all the elements, but like, what it comes down to is being industry standard. And you have a lot of guys, and you know, there's a lot of guys who the problem is they're overwhelmed, right, with work on just maintaining, keeping the whole thing going, right? So they've taken steps, and they didn't follow the standards. They threw up their business however haphazard it was. So they don't have a standard player.
You're talking about guys with non-IAB standard banners and crap that you can't sell?
Or 40 million ads on a page. There's just so many errors that they're not allowing themselves to make money because they all just don't have the right information. They don't know how to do it right. And to have it, you know, there's a way to do it. There should be 4 ads on a page, no more. Because everything is competing against everything else. So it has to be fair for the advertisers to actually get a click. And so that's why the industry set it up that way. But to make it work for you economically, you need to have an ad server. So you can sell ads locally, and then you have the ad server that's delivering ads for everywhere else in the world where people are coming in that's relevant to them. So you have multiple, right there, you have 2 different levels of advertising with one move. And you're using less space on your site. You know, in the newspaper, it was always white space, right? That was the word.
Yep.
You know, how much white space is in your ad so people can actually read, because you're competing against all the other text on a page. And you look at the New York Times. I mean, so, or any local paper, you know, it's all about white space. So the same thing is online.
Well, I think that one of the keys to it is being part of a major network where your ad salespeople can sell not only into your stream, which may only be 50,000 TLH, right? But sell into a network that delivers 100 million ads a day.
Well, that's totally right, because advertisers, I mean, the big guys, right? You might have a contact, right? If you're lucky enough to have a contact, maybe you're in a networking group or, you know, LaTip or whatever, and you get this lead, and you have this advertiser that's really interested in and being on your show, but you've got this limited audience that's only maybe in one market or not doesn't cover all of the markets that their locations are in. Maybe they've got multiple locations. So that when you're with a network like us, we have the ability to not only deliver ads in your on your station, but add all the other stations in the network that have audience in the same market as your advertiser. And that's what they want. They don't want to reach everybody. They want to reach the people that can actually take action and buy their or use their product or service.
You know what's funny is I had a pure play broadcaster come to me one time and he goes, you know, I'm working on a deal with Aaron's Lease to Own. Oh, I just gave them a free plug. So what? Anyway, I'm working on a deal with them here in X-Town. And yep. I said, and they're going to pay me to put their ads on my station. And I said, okay, so how many listeners do you have right there in your town or in their region? Well, I don't know. And how many listeners do you have in Japan, Germany, UK, Canada, and California? I mean, You're on the East Coast. You're in Pennsylvania.
Right.
So how many listeners do you have in each of those areas? Well, I don't know. I said, then why the hell would Aaron's advertise with you?
Yep. Well, sometimes people get lucky and they have this relationship, but because they don't have the network behind them. You know, just give you, for instance, when I was at the three-letter company, I would get orders where I couldn't fill all of the markets. You know, we had top 20 markets, 145 stations at the time. But sometimes there's a hole. So I would go to a competitor. And I would buy the competitor's inventory.
Right.
To take the business off the street and make it easier for my client. So my client didn't have to do that. That was part of the service that I provided. And I would just take a commission from that station as an agency and bundle it together with my own company inventory and deliver that to the agency or the clients, you know, in the proposal. And so that's what we do today on the digital side. But we have all of this inventory with thousands and thousands of stations, with millions and millions of listeners by market. And, you know, today advertising has got some complexity. It was just an article that came out that made me laugh with this competitor who is just rolling out, and they think they've got, you know, they're rolling out like it's something new when we've been doing it all along, is the ability to use programmatics for your podcasts. And, you know, if you go to one of the big podcast competitors who was started by the founder of Westward One, they're still in the old days. They still don't understand how digital works. And they've bogged themselves down in production. And that's like TV. And I know you came from TV, Dean. And, you know how long it takes to make a TV commercial. Even on the local level, 2 weeks is like a rush job.
Right.
Right? So to make a 30-second commercial, you know, you're shooting, you know, 10 hours of footage to boil
just
it all
make
down.
A commercial.
To make a 30-second spot, right? You got graphics, right. You got music, you got voiceover. All this stuff has to be edited down to create the spot. Then it gets approved. If it doesn't get approved, it gets kicked back, make this change. So you have all these different things that happen before a spot gets signed off on and then actually gets on the air. So this is what this company has done. This big podcast company, again, started by the founder of Westward One. He's still in the old days where he's taking the talent, bogging the talent down with doing live reads. So when you click on to listen to the podcast, you get, you know, this wonderful voiceover from the talent, which is cool. But now you have a negotiation problem between ad sales and this talent where ad sales got, you know, this new anal ointment. And now you have to convince the talent to do a live read about this new anal ointment.
Right.
Right. So now you get pushback from the talent, but you got, you know, there's a, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting on the table that you're going to lose because you can't convince the the talent to do the read. So this is a pushback. That's a bad model. From a production standpoint, a negotiation standpoint, you're vulnerable to the talent. And it's not a good place to be. We don't deal with that. We deliver ads to an individual based on what they are interested in and showed interest, previous searches, and previous actions. So the ads that we deliver are automatically rendered to that person based on where they are in the world, again, based on that history. So it's always relevant. When they're doing these live reads, the audience is like broadcast, where you're getting a commercial that has no relevancy to you. So therefore, it's a waste of money for the advertiser who's paying an exorbitant amount to have a live read done by talent to an audience that most likely is not interested.
And now you're getting into programmatic. So let's do this. Let's hold that thought. And in 2 weeks, we'll come back and we're going to dedicate a show to programmatic advertising because we're out of time.
Holy cow, that went fast.
I know. We have so much fun doing this.
Let me pick up my marbles.
Way too much fun.
Yep. Always.
And to all of you out there that are listening to us, come over to muse.digital. And if you have questions, just use the contact form. Hit us up and we'll check you out on the next show. Tom, it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you. Don, thank you so much. Doug, thank you so much. BBS Radio, you are the best.